Okay, so let's say we go back to the two brises that elaborated upon the Mishnah. The Mishnah only spoke about four of us in the Zikin, and the brises spoke about so many more. First, you had Rabbi Eishah's brise of 13, then Rabbi Chiya's brise of 24. And the Gemara spends a lot of very, very technical, almost like textual discussion as to why some are quoted here and some are quoted there, why Rabbi Chiya did quote, didn't quote, etc. But within each of these questions, the Shakotah and the Gemara, there is so much lumdus, so many sugyas, that once again we have an entire sugya brought to us, just merely working about the terms, just the terminology that appear in the brise of Rabbi Chiya and Rabbi Eishah. So the Gemara in the bottom of Daan and Beis poses a question against Rabbi Eishah. Rabbi Eishah quotes a lot of things. He's willing to quote anything and everything that's mammon. Certain things Rabbi Eishah is not willing to quote. He doesn't want to discuss kenosos, but he is open to discussing certain other cases of mammon. So the Gemara Sakasha, 5 lines at the bottom, Ganav and Gazlan the mammon, who listening? So why doesn't Rabbi Eishah mention Ganav and Gazlan? The Gemara says, what do you mean why doesn't? He does. He mentions the case of a Shemachinim and a Shoyal. So licked in every case of Shemachinim and a Shoyal, within the parashas of Shemachinim and Shoyal, are the possibilities of Genev and Gazela playing out. So Gemara says, is that true? Then why does Rabbi Chiya, why does he mention it? So Gemara says, no, Rabbi Chiya, now we have Tanah, Shemachinim and Shoyal. Nah, Tanah, Maldiasli, Yadavi, Teira, Tanah, Maldiasli, Yadavi, Surah. Rabbi Chiya says it's true that within every case of Ganav and within every case of Shom Mechinim and Ashol, you could potentially have Ganav and Gazelas, but it's still very different. A Ganav and a Gazlan means a guy mamish breaks into the house, the Isser, or a Gazlan, a guy punches you, beats you up, and takes away your wallet, the Isser. A Shoyal or Shom Mechinim could also be Ganav and Gazlanim, but it's, I guess we would call it white collar crime. I mean, he took it as an honest guy, you know, he's entering into a business transaction, he's watching your animal for you, he's borrowing your car for you, and then he steals it afterwards. So there are different ways of stealing. There are stealing of the wild, wild west, where you're a cattle thief, and then there's a guy who's watching your animal for you, and then he pulls some cheating with you, and he lies to you, and he ends up walking away with your animal. That's a different kind of a guy of a Gazlan, and therefore Rabbi Chiya felt each category deserves its own honorary mention. So basically, we want to focus on this statement of the Gemara that licked within Shemachinim and Ashoyal are scenarios of Genev and Gazela. How exactly is that? Where do you see in the world of Shemachinim and Ashoyal the scenarios of Genev and Gazela? So Rashi fills you in. Rashi says, well, every Shemachinim, let's take Shemachinim, that's the easier one. Every Shemachinim can very, very quickly turn into a Ganav. How is that? So you need a little bit of background, Vashas Mishpatim. So I come to you and I say, listen, do me a favor, can you please watch this animal for me? I'm not going to pay you, just do me a favor. Great, no problem, I'll be happy to. So you take my animal, you put it into your backyard, I go away on vacation, I come back a week later, I say, can I please have my animal back? And you respond, oh, I'm so sorry that, I was watching your animal, I try to be careful with it, but, you know, cattle thieves, you know, you can never stop them. The guy came, somebody came in and stole the animal. I say, oh yeah, I'm so sorry to hear that, but you know, the Torah does say that you're part of Yerusha Mechinim, I understand that, but you have to take a Shavuot. The Torah says, V'nikvabal abayit alohim lo shalach elim echisrael, so the Chiyuv Shavuot, Shavuot Hashem tibin shneim, so you have to take a Shavuot. So this is one of the three Shavuot deraisa, besides by the Mikta, Seir Echon, so Shavuot Hashem is one of the big three Shavuot deraisa. So you come to Beis Din and you swear that your story is authentic, that somebody broke into the house, that stole the animal, and shot, very, very nice, okay? A week later, what happens? What happens a week later? What? Two Adam come and say, yeah, somebody stole it, all right? The Shomer did it. He's the one who did it. He's the guilty. He stole the old animal. He made up a whole fabricated, a whole book of my own story. He himself stole the animal. So what happens now? So comes the Torah and says, I'll call Dvar Pesha, I'll show, I'll come, I'll tell, Yishalem Shnaim Re'eu. So that pasuk is very, very unclear on the Torah Shabbat, what that pasuk is referring to. But we have a tradition as part of the Masorish, Mishish al Meshav Beinu, the Gemara in the end of Masorah of Kama, tells us, Torah Shabbat explains to us, that pasuk is teaching us that there is a chiyuv of what? What's called Toen what? Toen Tainus. Toen Tainus is a simple case. Toen Tainus Ganav. Whenever the Shomer is a Toen Tainus, he claimed that something was stolen, so he, and he was proven that way with Edim, he is now treated as a god of mamish, and just as the regular god of has to pay kefil, so too he has to pay kefil as well. Then the Gemara adds on to boot in Frank Maruba, and what if he subsequently did what to it? Not only did he steal it, but he subsequently shechted it or sold it. What does he have to do? He's got to pay dalav hay also. So he's mamshik a ganav. So this is an equation that's derived from psukim, him lo yimatzi a ganav, him yimatzi a ganav, a whole series of psukim in Perek Merubin, the ninth Perek of Bava Kamma. The bottom line translates to mean that there's a parish of Toein, Tana's ganav, and pretty much for all practical purposes, he's treated like a ganav, there's a chiyuv of kefel, dalav in the hay, etc., etc., etc. Okay? Fine. That's the given. So comes Rashi and says that since every shemichinam could potentially snowball into becoming a ganav, so therefore Rabbi Oshia was comfortable by just saying shemichinam, and he knew you would figure it out toin tan is ganav as well. That's all. That's the pshat in the Gemara. Very simple, very very simple textual answer. But now Rashi starts to get very very on the defensive, because Rashi says, Rashi says the second of the But now Rashi gets defensive. Why? Remember, the Gemara has two questions. The Gemara said, what happened to Ganav? And the Gemara said, it's covered by what? By Shemachinam and Shoel. Says Rashi, I'm scratching my head, says Rashi, give me a case of a ganav who used to be a Shoel. Rashi says the Gemara here is a little bit misleading. But the Gemara says, not true. Because a Shoel can never become a Toin Tanis Gav. That's an impossibility. Why? The Hala Mashkachas Bey, the Nifter, Lopetoin Tanis Gav, Tanis Gav, Shurechai Kulai. Says Rashi, the ABCs, the prerequisite of becoming a Toin Tanis Ganav, is that you have to take a Shvuah, and it's a kind of a Shvuah that would do what for you? It would exempt you, get you off the hook. That's what Toin Tanis Ganav means. That's the case that I portrayed before, where I give you something to watch the Shemachinim, and if you were telling the truth, you would takali potter, Krapishmaya really potter, and then it turns out that you lied, that alzen nema the parish of Toin Tanis Ganav. But if I say to you, give me back the animal that I lent you, and you're a shoyel, and you say, I'm so sorry it was stolen, that's never going to get anywhere near pain kefa. Why? For an obvious reason. What's gonna happen before that? What's the shoyel going to have to do? He's going to have to pay. So what's for Toin Tanis Ganav? It doesn't matter what Toin Tanis Ganav means. The guy claims Toin Tanis Ganav. He takes a shvua to that effect, bathed in Paskini's potter, and then a week later he's caught red-handed. But if he was a shoyel who didn't even have the option to exempt himself, so what kind of Toin Tanis Ganav is that? So Rashi now is in a pickle. Rashi says, wait a second. But the Gemara just said that Nachat Losh Shemachinim V'Hashoyel Likdin Shemachinim V'Hashoyel is Ganav. So Rashi says, you know what? The Gemara's Loshin is not Dafka. It can't be, because this case of Toin Tanis Ganav exists for a Shoymer, but does not exist for a Shoel. So the Gemara's Loshin must be Lav Dafka. Ad Kan Divi Rashi. Now again, whenever you see that, you get like, someone's got to disagree with that. But Rashi's right. Rashi has Pasha Mishpatim on his side. What's shaykh to the case of Toin Tanis Ganav by Shoel? No, but that's not Toin Tanis Ganav. He's not a Ganav. That's not a Ganav. He's a Shoel who has to bail. Shoel. No, Toin Tanis Ganav means the case of Ganav. You're gonna have all the ramifications of a Ganav, all the consequences of a Ganav, of Kefal, Dalvei, etc. None of that's going to kick in. So I wouldn't call that a ganav. I'd say a guy who's chayav to pay because he was a shoyel who was found responsible. A ganav has the connotation of because geneva with perik maruba with dal hey with kay for the whole nine yards. So Rabbi Yisrael,
according to Rashi, why can't they join Tanis Ganav in regards to
Shoel? There's no case. Every time I say to you, hey, where's that animal that I lent you, and you say, I'm sorry, it was stolen. What happened? You don't swear that you're potter. You have to pay me. Shoel pays for geneva. So our question is, so we're going to challenge Rashi. It's quite a statement. We're going to try to come up with a very creative scenario where even a Shoel could get off the hook, potentially, and he used or abused his getting off the hook. He took a shvua to that effect. got caught that he had stolen it, we're going to turn around and say, Yechayev, alt Toyin Tanis Ganav. And that's going to be quite a feat to pull off. We have to find the case of a Shoel who is Potter, who could potentially be Nishba, and eventually be caught as a Toyin Tanis Ganav, and eventually pay Kefal. Rashi says there's no case, it doesn't exist. Because Rashi says it's nipped in the bud, because every shoal is always potter. There's no thing of the shoal being, I'm sorry, there's no case of shoal being potter. The shoal is always chayev. So Rashi says the case doesn't exist, doesn't get off the ground. So we are going to use our grandiose knowledge of Maseches Bava Metzia, just like Rashi, right? We're now smart Rashi. We're going to find the case in Bava Metzia that maybe a shoal is potter, and maybe the ball can get rolling, and we can have a case of a shoal being potter, nishba toitah, God of Kefel, maybe we're going to question Shitas Rashi. So basically, before we can even begin to discuss toitah, God of being nishba, anything, this case is dead on arrival. You know why? Because there's no case of a what? A shoal being potter, right? Doesn't exist. There's no such entity. Who thinks there's no case of a shoal being potter? Who here thinks there's no case whatsoever of a shoal being potter? Who here believes that somewhere there is a case for Shoal being potter? So I'll tell you a secret. If you know the answer to that question, then you too can come to MTA. And I'll tell you why. This was a question that was asked me on my MTA interview. All right? Give me a case that a Shoel is potter on. Eighth grade. We happened to be learning about Metzia Perecha Shoel. So this was a really, really, forward question. Presented to me by none other than Rabbi Yitzhak Cohn. Rabbi Yitzhak Cohn used to be the ninth grade Rebbe in MTA, and he used to give the Bechinas, and he was very tall, and I was not very tall at the time, and I was like this, and he was like this, and I was never so terrified in my life, and he asked me, simple question, give me a case that a shoal is potter on. So I said, I just gave one, potter in Chumash, okay? What's the answer, what case is a shoal potter on? Oh, you can't, you're going to throw out of MTA. That's also the right answer, but that's not the answer that he wanted. Okay, it's true. The truth is there are two answers. Yeah. But the answer that we wanted is by love, shema sheila b'baylem. Okay, what does sheila b'baylem mean? Apostle Chumash Torah says, "V'chiyushal ish be'imreyer ba'alav eini mo shalem mishalem." The only time that a shoal has to pay is if the baylem are not with it. What does it mean with it? With him? Who? What? Where? So comes the Teshuva Pen explains, ba'alav eini mo refers to melocha, namely, if I borrow something from you and I also have you working on my behalf, so there's a special freebie, a special tour, that the shoal becomes potter from just about anything because of the din of Bailavimu. She'elav Bailavim. That's the whole eighth parak. Anyone learned the eighth parak of Bamitziah? It's the whole eighth parak of Bamitziah revolves around that special parashat Torah called Bailavimu. It's a chiddush gadol. Mishem tried to explain what the rationale is. Is it chukim or mishpatim? That's another story. But that's the din. Kachan emra locha. That bail she'elav b'bailam is potter. So I have a suggestion. A fascinating suggestion. I'm going to construct a case. I'm going to create a very, very creative scenario of towing tainas ganav for a shoel. I'm going to disagree with Rashi. I lend you a cow, and you're a full-fledged shoel. And now when I come and I say to you, I want the cow back, you're chayav. And what do you say to me? What's your response? The cow was stolen, but what? But you happen to have been working for me at the same time, and therefore I happen to be potter. Uh-huh. And I say, I was working for you? I don't remember that. And we're screaming and fighting and yelling at each other at the din Torah. And the shoal is tining his potter, because he's tining sheila b'baylim. So maybe that's a good taina. Well, like any other shoel, any other shomer, he has to support his tainas p'tur with a what? With a shvuah. He takes a shvuah that was she'elah b'baylim, and instead takes a shvuah that was nignav b'baylim. And then, lo and behold, what happens? A week later, what do we find out? That he stole it himself. So boom, we'll slap him with the knas of kefal. We'll call him a ganav, turn it down as ganav. So that's the case. So we discovered it was not so crazy, not such a fool. Even MTA come with such a case. It's not such a crazy case. So why did Rashi close the door on us? Why did Rashi say this case doesn't exist? Rashi didn't know about Shaila B'Bailam. Rashi didn't get into MTA. Rashi knew there was a Shaila B'Bailam. So why couldn't Rashi connect the dots and say, Oh, Shaul is takapatu b'baylam. He was nishvach b'iskinan. Toi tanas ganav. This kefir. Why did Rashi say b'shum banav b'oifen? It doesn't exist. And therefore, Rashi was more comfortable saying that lashon gemara is lav dafka, which we're never comfortable saying, rather than giving this case. What is wrong with this case? So Rashi said we have to learn together two sugyas in one in b'vakama, one in b'vmetzia, to try to get a little bit of a better understanding why this case, according to Rashi, is not an acceptable case, and why some Rishonim may hold, in fact, it is an acceptable case. We have our work cut out for us to fine-tune a little bit this scenario of Sheila B'Bailim, Shmuel B'Bailim, Kef B'Bailim, Toritans Gan B'Bailim. We have to take a couple of steps back. So we have to learn through two somewhat complicated sugyas in order just to appreciate where Rashi is coming from and why perhaps the Rishonim will disagree with Rashi and try to begin to put the pieces of the puzzle together. What is really going on behind the scenes here? So again, everything we're going to talk about now ultimately has to come back to Bechir Rabbi Yoshia, but we're going to almost close the Kamad of Dalad, go into a little bit of a different world, a world of Shomrim.
You said the difference was between Mohan
and John, Rabbi Yoshia, and Rabbi Yoshia.
That's one of the differences. But the Gemara continues to answer how Rabbi Yoshia says that in by Gan of the Gazma, no? Isn't that, so then wouldn't we rather it that the Shul would be five at the beginning, because that would be Mohan, but Knaf is...
No, but that, the Gemara is trying to equate Shoal with Ganav. The Gemara made that statement that don't bother me with quoting Ganav. Every Shoal could become a Ganav also. Rashi says, no. A Shoal could become Chayav al Sheila, but it can't become a Ganav. Rashi says, there's no case of a Shoal becoming a Ganav. But we're questioning whether that's true or not. So if I say, let's go back to Pashto, a little Pashto Mishpatim, back to fifth grade. How many Pashtos in the Torah of Shomrim are there? That was a tricky question. How many parshas in the Torah are there? Okay, I'll rephrase it. How many shomrim in the Torah are there? How many shomrim in halacha are there? Four. How many parshas of shomrim are there in the Torah? Three. The Torah speaks about three different parshas of shomrim. One of them is a shomer chinam, one is a shomer sachar, one is a shoel, and the one that doesn't appear in the chumash is seicher. The Torah references a seicher by saying a seicher is not a shoel. But the Torah leaves us in the dark as to what is he. We know what he's not, but what is he? That was in the Chalitza of a man, Rabbi Yehuda. Is he by default a Shemachin and by default a Shemachin? Okay? Okay, we're not learning that sugi right now. But again, the Arba Shomim Hanemar and Batera, quote unquote, even though only three of them are actually clear in the Chumash itself what the did is. So this is a really, really quick review. Just make sure we have all the facts right. Otherwise, it's going to be hard to learn this. So what are the Didim of a Shemachinim? Quick, right? What's a Shemachinim? Chayev and Potter, right? So what's the Chayev for? Quick. Shemachin is chayav for Shia, but he's potter for what? Kedeva, Veda, and for sure, what else is he potter on? For sure he's potter on this, right? It's not even a question. Okay, fine. Okay. Then we have a Shem Sachar, so what's a Shem Sachar chayav on? What's he chayav on? Obviously he's chayav on Shia, what else is he chayav on? Kedeva, Veda is chayav on. What is he potter on? Oinus, okay. We have a Shoel. Shoel is what? Is chayav on? Obviously, Pshia, and he's Chayiv on Gnevi Aveda, and he's Chayiv on Oines, and he's pretty much Chayiv on everything. Potter, okay, now you could say you've been waiting so patiently. Mesa Machos Malacha, okay, fine. Mesa Machos Malacha, and of course, B'Bailim, but that everybody's Potter B'Bailim. Okay, fine. Okay, good. So this is just fifth grade. We'll Chazar back from sixth grade. You did not go to as advanced elementary schools. I went to, okay. All right. Oh, no, wait, we didn't learn to fifth grade. We learned to... When did I say this? Oh, we learned Pashmish Pratmish, right, Pashmish Pratmish. We learned to mask. Oh, we learned to mask in eighth grade. We were way behind. Okay. But, Torah Shebichtav, or Torah Shebichtav, we were in the start before you. Okay. Kumash, yeah. Yeah. Gemara learned it out. Okay, good. Got the ABCs here. There is something else lurking behind the scenes in Pashmish Shomrim that Mamish throws a curveball at us and changes everything. That's called what? What's the worst thing a shomer could possibly do? The absolute, I didn't even put it on the board. It's the worst possible thing a shomer can do. Shlichus Yad. The Torah says time and time again, everything we're saying to you is only true in what? Im lo yishalach yadav melech Yisrael. Shavuos Hashem, im lo yishalach yadav melech Yisrael. I gave you an animal to watch, and you went ahead and you used it for yourself. I gave you a car to watch. I told you, leave it in your driveway and don't touch it. And you took it around the block for a spin. You are Shalech Yad. Once you are Shalech Yad is tantamount to being labeled as a what? Like a Goslin, pretty much like a Goslin. And you know what you're chayav for after shlichus yad? Anything and everything, just like a gazlan. A gazlan is chayav for everything. A shlichus yad is chayav for everything. So if you look carefully in Parshas Mishpatim, you'll notice that the Torah repeats the parasha of shlichus yad twice. Both in the first parasha, as well as in the second parasha. Now the first parasha of Chumash is talking about Shemachinam. How did we figure that out? It doesn't say that explicitly. That's the whole Torah Shema Peh, the end of Bav Metzia, and the beginning of the eighth parasha of Bav Metzia. The Gemara explains that the first parasha is Shemachinam, and the second parasha is Shemesachar. So in the parasha of Shemachinam, the Torah says, if you shlichus yad, oy, 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 everything is over, you're done. And then the Torah, just in case you missed it the first time, the Torah says, and if you're a Shemesachar, oy, 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 if you're shlichus yad, everything, yichayif, every last, oynis, nishbo, nishbo, mate, everything, shlichus yad trumps everything. The Torah repeats the parasha, that condition of shlichus yad, that ruins it for you entirely, no matter who you are, what you are, where you are. What's the kasha? What's the kasha? What's the obvious kasha? It's superfluous. What does the Torah say twice? The Torah should have just simply said, one time there's a din of shlichus yad. Shlichus yad kills it for you. If shlichus yad kills it for you in one case, so it should kill you for you for the second case also. So comes the Gemara in Perek HaMafkid, and comes the Gemara in the sixth Perek of Bavakama, and says, you're right. Anyone saw the Mam Kermis? Guys got ahead of me a little bit in the Mam Kermis? But says, you're right. There really is no need to repeat the parasha of Shlichus Yad twice. Once the Torah says Shlichus Yad is called the Gazal, it's over, it's history. I can easily extrapolate from one to another. So there must be some reason, some deep dark secret, why the Torah spells out Shlichus Yad twice. It must be, say Chazal, to tell me some kind of a halacha about Shlichus Yad that I wouldn't necessarily have known beforehand. It must be that the repetition, the otherwise unnecessary repetition of the phrase Shlichus Yad, must be to teach me a certain prod, a certain detail about Shlichus Yad that I wouldn't have figured out on my own. What is that missing link? What is that detail? Anyone saw? Anyone saw the Gemara? Anyone saw the Tosfos? Anyone saw? Did I put it all in the Mamre Kamis? Put the Gemara in Bava Kama, put the Gemara in the Tosfos of Bava Kama. Or did we put it all? No, nobody looked it up. Because I didn't put it on, that's why. Everyone looked at the Gemara of a Kavadaf Nim Zion? Mm-hmm. Everyone knew what in the world the Gemara was talking about?
Yeah.
So no one realized that we're talking about Shlichus Yad? No? Lo Yimamras, Hashem Echidish Kemasham, Tashem Lekeifel, Toma, Bishtel, Mestach, Yem Shalom. Did anyone look at the Tosfos that explained that we're talking about Shlichus Yad? No, everyone just... When you're looking up the Gemara, there's one question. What daf is the Gemara again? Nun Zayin, okay? So the Gemara quotes a Braisa, correct? Loim Amras, right? Right? The Gemara quoted a Braisa, Loim Amras? Wasn't that on the Ram Kamas? Okay. Rashi said on that Gemara, what did he say? Rashi says he has no idea what the Gemara is talking about. Lo Yadana Mehechatan. He doesn't know what the topic is talking about. So didn't anyone like scratch that and say, gee, so what is it talking about? So nobody realized to look at Tosfos? I just thought that was assumed. Okay, either that or I forgot to put the Tosfos in the Mamre Kamas. Okay, so bear with me, Rabbi Say. It is superfluous to write the Parsha Shlichus Yad twice. So why does the Torah write it? It must be, it's there for the following reason, to teach me that a gewaltige chiddush in the Shlichus Yad. I'm going to give you a case of Shlichus Yad. I'm going to give you two cases of Shlichus Yad. Case number one. You ask me to watch your car, and you tell, please, leave it in the driveway, don't touch it, it's a very expensive car, don't drive it. Okay? I go ahead and I drive it, and I drive it around the block a few times. I get a tiny scratch on it. Almost you can't tell it, a little scratch here. Oh, then as I wear down the tires a little bit, you know, I get stuck in the snow, you know. A few little things, very, very insignificant amounts, but a little mash, a little something. That's one kind of shlichus yad. Then there's another kind of shlichus yad. I drive the car around the block. I put it back in the driveway. You can't even tell the difference. Didn't even register in the odometer. I'm such a godly, if I had odometer fraud, I turned the odometer. You can't even tell that I drove it. It was mamish nothing. So one case, there was a shlichus yad with a chisaron. There was a little minuscule loss, slight devaluation of the property. In the second case, there wasn't even that. So comes the Gemara and says that if the Torah would have only said one time, Shlichus Yad, I would have thought the Shlichus Yad only makes sense when there's a chisaron. When something went wrong, something went down in value, that's a Shlichus Yad. But if nothing happened, it didn't depreciate at all, what kind of Shlichus Yad is that? So Kamash Malon, the Torah the second time around, that even Shlichus Yad with no chisaron whatsoever is also called the Shlichus Yad. So says the Gemara, that's the reason why you need Shlichus Yad twice. So it's to that's where the Gemara in Bava Kama Daf and Zayin now begins, with that background. The Gemara says, wait a second, not so simple. Your premise is that I could have figured out Shlichus Yad in one case from another. If the Torah would have just said it by Shem Achinam, I would have easily known it by Shem Asachar. Why the superfluous statement Shlichus Yad must be to tell me Shlichus Yad ain't Tzricha Chisaron. That's the flow, that's the goal of the Gemara. That the second time writing Shlichus Yad by Shem Asachar is totally unnecessary. It could have easily been derived from Shem Achinam. Stop, the Gemara says. Penalty marker down. Is that a true statement or not? If the Torah would have written Shlichus Yad by Shem Achinam, can we derive the Shem Asachar? What do you think? What do you think? Forget everything about Chisaron. Forget. I just want to know. I'm asking one question. If the Torah gives us a certain Chomer by Shem Achinam, does that automatically carry over to Shem Asachar or not? That's all I want to know. If the answer is, it automatically does, I could have figured it out all on my own, so then why did the Torah repeat it? Zeman Fadot to teach me this parasha of Einchir Chisar. But if I wouldn't have been able to figure it out on my own, then the reason why the Torah repeated it is simply to tell me the din, Shlichus Yad by Shem Asachar. So everything is now hinging, the truth of that statement, whether Shlichus Yad Einchir Chisar or not, is hinging upon this fundamental question: can you derive chumras of Shomesh Chinam to derive them over to Shomesh Sachar? Can you travel from Shomesh Chinam to Shomesh Sachar? What do I say? No, just because a certain chumras is tuba Shomesh Chinam, just because there's a pasha Shlichus Yad by Shomesh Chinam, doesn't necessarily mean it's tuba Shomesh Sachar. That's the question of the Gemara. Nobody realized that? No? Okay. That is the issue. Everything is hinging upon that one piece of information. A din that appears by Shomesh Chinam, does it carry over or does it not carry over? That's all I want to know. What do you think the answer to that question is? Do the chumras of Shem Achinam carry over or not? What does that depend on, Rabbi Zai? It depends on one simple statement, one simple mathematical statement. Can all the chumras of Shem Achinam carry over to Shem Asachar or not? What does it depend on, Rabbi? It depends on one thing. Come on. What does it depend on? The carrot. On Weinbach. It depends on which direction the carrot's going. What's more chumr? If Shem Achinam is more chumr than Shem Asachar, so then just because something is chumr is true by Shem Achinam, doesn't mean it spills over to Shem Asachar. But if Shem Asachar is more chumr than Shem Achinam, then we have a kav chumr in our hands. If a certain chumr is true by Shem Achinam, kav chumr is true by Shem Asachar. So anything and everything now revolves around the simple statement, which is more chumr? Shem Achinam, is it worse to be a Shem Achinam or worse to be a Shem Asachar? Are you more chayef to pay as a Shem Achinam or more chayef to pay as a Shem Asachar? If the answer is you're more chayef to pay as a Shem Achinam, so then all the chumras of Shem Achinam may not necessarily carry over to Shem Asachar. But if it's worse to be a Shem Asachar, more chumra to be a Shem Asachar, and a chumra is true by Shem Achinam, kav chumra is true by Shem Asachar. That's the entire question. So I ask you, let's get a show of hands here. Who thinks it's more miserable to be a Shem Achinam in terms of obligations to pay or a Shem Asachar? Who thinks life's easier as a Shem Achinam or as a Shem Asachar? What do you think? Which way do you think?
I think Shem Asachar.
You think Shem Asachar is much more miserable, much more.
No.
That's
no,
you think it's better?
I think it's opposite.
But which one do you think? Which I want to know who is more chayav to pay and things. Who has a worse financial, more precarious financial position? Shem Achinam or Shem Asachar? Who thinks Shem Achinam? Who thinks Shem Achinam is worse? Who thinks Shem Asachar is worse? Okay, so those who think Shem Asachar is worse, explain to me why. Why do you think Shem Asachar is worse? What do you think?
You expect more of a paid intern or an unpaid intern?
You're right, but I want to know, not just what I expect, I want to know tachlis and halacha. I want to know bottom line halacha. Chaval, I erased the whole chart. Right? Who has mochiv on the chart? Shem Asachar is mochayev. Give me a case, Shem Achinam's father, Shem Asachar is chayev, huh? It should be a done deal. So of course it's worse to be a Shabbos Echad. So what am I hacking? What am I wasting your time with carrots? The Shabbachinim, it's a joke. Of course the Shabbos Echad is more, of course the paid intern is more responsible. Of course you're much more responsible. Not so simple, the Gemara says. Zelo Pashut. You know why it's not Pashut? Explain to you why it's not Pashut. There's something that a Shabbachinim has going against them that Shabbos Echad doesn't. Shomechinam can end up with his foot in his mouth. He could end up paying kefel, something that can never, ever, ever happen to a who? To a Shomer Sachar.
With one.
Right? So this is a very lomdish shah. This is like, I need some guy. Who here is in Tzaisim? Nobody? That's it? Four guys? Come on, tell me the truth. Come on. What are you guys embarrassed?
We don't want to admit it.
What?
We don't want to admit it.
The whole Shia is in Tzaisim. Okay. Don't nobody get sick in 20 years from now. No doctors anymore. We got a lot of businessmen. Okay. Healthcare. Okay. So basically, I want you to tell me, my forte is not business. I want you to tell me, all right? Is it a worst financial position to be in, to be a Shemachinah, to be a Shemachinah? I'll explain to you the sides of both. Very simple equation. A Shemachinah, any and every case of stealing is going to be potter. But there's a chance he may end up with what? With a kefil on his head if he does something really, really foolish and dishonest. A Shabbos Sachar will have to pay for every single case of Geneva, but will only have to pay what? One time left to pay twice. So this is kind of like the proverbial what? One in the hand, two in the bush, something along those lines, right? I can hear smells of Kalakan. I can hear somebody arguing that it's much worse to be a Shomer Sachar, because Shomer Sachar always got to pay. I can hear somebody arguing, nope, Shomer Chinam is worse because sometimes he ends up having to pay more. So I can hear Svaros Lekalikat. And the truth is, it's probably Machloikas HaTanoim, in terms of hierarchy, in terms of Chumras HaDvarim, which side is correct. But let's play it out now for a moment that a Shomer Chinam is more Chomer. Let's make believe for a second that a Shomer Chinam is more Chomer, that we really take into consideration this factor of Kefel. This is a very, very serious factor, and this does away, forces us to make the following arrow, that a Shabbachinim is in fact more chomer than a Shomer Sachar. Again, remember, this is going to impact on the Shluchas Yatzir Chisaron, because if this is true, then we don't have a second superfluous pasuk, because we couldn't have figured anything out from Shabbachinim. Remember, this is all what we're trying to accomplish. So let's just focus for a moment, play devil's advocate right now, that Shabbachinim is talking more chomer than Shomer Sachar, because after all, a Shabbachinim has kefel and a Shomer Sachar. I'm going to say a word, everyone's going to jump on me. Shomer Sachar never has kefil. Never, ever, 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 ever has kefil, right?
No.
Good, I knew you'd say that. Comes to the Gemara Baba Kama Daf Nun Zayin and says, real? Shomer Sachar never has kefil? Never, ever, 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 ever? I'm going to find you a case where Shomer Sachar has kefil also. And the Gemara is going to get creative also. We're not just the only people who have a monopoly being creative. Chazal also creative. Chazal came up with a scenario in Baba Kama Daf Nun Zayin that it could be that a Shomer Sachar will have kefil. Now, in order for Shomer Sachar to have kefil, you have to first find the case that a Shomer Sachar is what? Is potter on a geneva, right? Because if you don't have potter on a geneva, you need kefil in the first place. I want a case of a theft, of a robbery, where Shomer Sachar is going to get off scot-free. And it's going to set up a situation for potential kefil. Give me a case. Give me a scenario that a Shomer Sachar can be put together. Get the pasuk. The pasuk says, "Im ganovi ganemi im oishal im balav." The pasuk best mishpatim. Fifth grade. Im ganovi ganemi im oishal im balav. The Torah Kedusha says that a Shomer Sachar is chayv on ganeva. So what's the case? Is there any ganeva that a Shomer Sachar is putter on? I'll give you a case. Listibla. With the mezuyah. It wasn't that there's some little guy who snuck in the dark of night and stole something. That Shomer Sachar should have been more responsible for. He should have gotten up. He should have fought back. He should have protected it. He's a paid intern. He shouldn't have let that happen. But list the mezuyah. First of all, list the mezuyah. A guy comes in, armed robber. Give me a good guy. Who's the guy? Cattle thief back from the 1800s. Give me a good guy. Come on. Who's the guy? Who are those guys, you know?
John Brown.
He's the guy who sells
chametz. Oh, no, not that Shomer.
Who's that? Billy Kidd, who's that? Who was that? It was Billy Kidd. He was a good guy or a bad guy?
Billy the Kid?
Oh, from the movie.
Who? Give me a guy. Give me some guy from Texas.
Cool name.
No, I'm looking for a real guy. Some famous guy. Who's a famous cattle thief back in the 1800s? Come on, the guys used to... Are there some guys? That's the 1920s Chicago. Next, okay. And these 1870s, the guys in Texas. All right, fine. You know the guys who broke the stagecoach, you know, those kind of guys. Guys from what was it, from Bonanza, those kind of guys. Yeah, the holy Dr. Berman, come on. You know what I'm talking about, right? Those kind of guys. So you have a guy, he's a listed bazillion, he steals cattle, but he comes armed. So does the Torah expect somebody as a Shem Mitzvah, a little pipsqueak of a Shem Mitzvah, to stand up to an armed bandit? What's the answer? No. What does that enter into what category? Aynis. A bazoi that a Shem Mitzvah is potter on armed robbers on listed mizuyim. Wait a second. So now, when I ask the Shem Mitzvah, where's the animal that I gave you? What does he respond? Oh, I'm so sorry, it was stolen with listed mizuyim. Wonderful. What do I ask him to do? Take Yeshua. Now what happens? He swears what happens a week later? There were no sound, no count, no nothing to build. There were no armed robbers, nothing. He stole it himself. So he's a candidate for what? For Kefo, right? So the Gemara says, I'm not sure. You know what we're not sure? We're not sure if Lista Mizuyim a Ganav or not. Why? Just because you steal something from somebody doesn't make you a Ganav. A Ganav is someone who steals in the dark of night. A Gazlan is someone who mugs you in the street. A Lista Mizuyim is somewhere in the middle. He, on the one hand, he doesn't do it in the dark. He doesn't sneak into your house. He breaks in. On the other hand, he doesn't attack you right in public. He's a tough kind of a guy. Somewhere in the middle, mitmer inshi. So we're not quite sure what to treat him. So the only time there's a parish of toin tan is ganav is when you toin tan is ganav. Toin tan is gazlan is not pekefel. So the Gemara is not 100% sure whether this case is going to exist or not. But it may. It's possible. So comes the Gemara and says, if it's true, if you really believe that toin tan is listed mizuyim carries with a kefel, then guess what? Then Shabachinim is no longer so much more common than a Shamasach. You know why? Because just as a Shabachinim has a case of Kefel, a Shamasach also has Kefel in that one case of List of Mizuyim. So again, the Gemara is still, the purpose of the Sugyan in Bava Kamma and Zayin is to try to figure out, is the Shabachinim ultimately in a more difficult financial position than a Shamasach or not? Nafkamina, whether the Chumras of Shabachinim or Shlichus Yad carry over. Nafkamina is whether we have a superfluous passage to teach our Shlichus Yad and it's Chisar. It's all hinging on that one Nakuda. Who is in a more serious financial obligation? Shabachinim or Shamasach? So on the one hand, Shabachinim has Kefel. On the other hand, Shamasach, we also have Kefel. And we're not quite sure, and that's where the Gemara kind of throws its hands up and kind of ends, and we're not really sure where to go at this point in the sugya. At kan divrei
ha-Gemara. Why are we applying Einu
Shem and Adin here? Einu Shem and Adin. Too confusing.
Why doesn't that apply here?
It's momentous. According to those who show them, say Einu Shem and Adin.
Yeah, fine.
According to Rash, not bad. Maybe. It's good kasha. I don't know. The Bavli doesn't seem to buy into this. I don't spread it at all. So Rabbi say, the Gemara spent a lot of time trying to figure out the hierarchy, who's more financially difficult position, the Shem Mechidim and the Shem Mechidim. Everything's revolving around Kefil. Shem Mechidim has Kefil. Shem Mechidim may have Kefil, not have Kefil. We're not even sure he has Kefil. We don't even know what the status of the list of Mizuim is. We've got so many spakers, so many question marks here. It's at this point where Taisha throws in to the sugya, the part that is just us. This is all the background. Taisa says, I can find you a case of Toein Tainis Gana for Shema Socher. I'll find it, says Taisa. The Gemara tried to find it with List of Mizuyim and may or may not have been successful. Taisa said, but the Gemara may have failed, I will succeed. Comes Taisa and says, Vim Taimer, and the fourth Siddur Mavikov, it's a little teeny, teeny Taisa of a covenant Zayin of a base. Vim Taimer, Akati Nimtza Shemesacha Mishalim Kefel. Why does the Gemara drain us a cup and we can't find the case of Kefa B'Shem HaSachar and the best we couple is the Mizui, which is the Shail B'Chleikis, Agadah Sestasis, Agim Taimri Akat, the Nimtash HaMesach B'Shem Kefa, B'Toein Tain is Gana B'Bailim. Sestasis, it's the Shem HaSachar, and I ask him, where's the animal? And the guy says it was stolen, but you worked for me. And I say, I worked for you, I never worked for you. Now what happens, Rabbi Say? Sestasis, that's the case. That should result in what? In Kefel. Which is exactly the same question that we asked against who? Rashi. Rashi said, there's no case. Doesn't exist. Show up, no case. So Tosa says, what do you mean there's no case? There is a case. It's true. Rashi's talking about Shaul, Tosa's talking about Shaul, it's the same thing for our purposes. These are cases that generally don't have the din of Toyin Tanis Gana, because by and large, they're chayav when they tie the Geneva. But you can come up with a crazy response of Geneva Bailim. So what's the answer to this Kasha? Vishema says Taisus. Vishema in Shaya Kefel Batoin Tainas Gana Binyanze. Taisus says, true. The person could say Toin Tainas Gana, but the person could say, I'm sorry, Bailim. You're right, he could get off the hook by saying Bailim, that is correct. But we're not sure that that claim will result in a what? In a chiv of kefil. We're not sure, says Tosis. Why not? No idea why not. Guess what? Tosis themselves weren't even sure, but it's true. They said Veshema. Said maybe. Tosis is thinking about Veshema. Veshema ain't shy of kefil, but Toyota has got to be in there. And then you can already tell that Tosis wasn't so thrilled with what they just said. Ve'afilu shayach, and even if we're wrong, even if there would be, ain't lochosh, don't be so picky on the Gemara. Why didn't the Gemara give this case? Why didn't the Gemara say this? There is a case. Anyway, the Gemara is trying to figure out, maybe Lister Mizuim is a good case, maybe it's not a good case. So the Gemara wasn't going through every single case, but it could be that it was right. This would have also been a good case. So on pure technical, logistical issues, Tosfos says that, is it a Rayam? There's no raya for the Gemara. You can't tell one way or the other from the Gemara. Why didn't the Gemara give this case as a possibility of a Toyin Tanis Gana B'Shem HaSachar? Either because the case is wrong for some deep dark secret we have no idea why, or even if the case is right, maybe just textually the Gemara just wasn't interested in going down that route anymore. The time the sugya was tired at the end of Shia, read the last day of Hanukkah, people were tired. The Gemara just forgot about it and just left it hanging. But don't be medayak anything grandiose from the lack of giving that case. So Rabbi Say, we have a Tosfos, a two-line Tosfos in Bavakava, Daf and Zayin, that is mistopic about the very Nekuda that we've been chepping Rashi about for the last hour. Rashi made a sweeping statement in Asugya, there's no Toin Tanis Gana by Shoyel. Doesn't exist. End of discussion. And we very timidly asked, what do you mean, Rashi? I got a case. I went to fifth grade. I got into MTA. I'm very smart. And I found the case. The case is Toin Tanis Gana B'Bailim. I outsmarted Rashi. So we raised the question an hour ago, how come Rashi didn't say that? It took us an hour to discover that whether or not Rashi's right, whether our timid question against Rashi is right, is a suffix of none other than who? The Tais themselves. The Baalei HaTais themselves are not sure whether all these dots connect. Is this, it sounds like it should be right. The Shoyl is Potter, he's Nishba, Toyin Tanis Gana, it sounds like it should be right. It sounds like there should be a case of Kefel by Shem HaSachar with a tinus of Bailam Vimo. But somehow Tosfos is not 100% sure. Shema, Abishayah, the name, they're not quite sure. I don't even know what Tosfos is. I'm not sure what Tosfos is saying. So this is not the only Tosfos in Shas about this topic. There is another Tosfos in Bav Metzia. I think I put the other Tosfos in the Rambam Kamos also.
It's the fifth
in the Rambam Kamos. Okay, so hopefully we'll take a look at that tomorrow. With Tosfos, in a little bit of a different, related, but a little bit of a different context, gets stuck into the same tzachik, the same suffix. Tosfos is also not 100%, they're not convinced 100,000,000% whether this results in Kefel, And we're back to square one. Rashi says, Tamali, it does no case. Don't waste your time. Don't close the sugya. Go and learn something else, says Rashi. Sugya's over. And Taisus in Baba Kama, then Taisus again in Baba Metzia, keeps on shepherding that maybe there is, and we typically thought there should be, and we're still not quite sure what the issue is. So hopefully we have a work cut out for us tomorrow, Mitzvah Hashem. First of all, to see that other Taisus in Baba Metzia that has the same type of hesitation, albeit a little bit of a different sugya. And then to really get down to the heart and soul of the sugya, namely, well, should Rashi be right? Should that timid question be correct? What is the latest of Suffolk and Taisus? What is the issue that should or should not result in there being careful in these transit cases? Let's jump tomorrow.